Highs and lows, peaks and troughs. This is the roller coaster that is the kakapo breeding season here on the Kakapod. We start with sad news. Gemma has passed away. She was taken to the Dunedin Wildlife Hospital, where they discovered she had aspergillosis, a fungal infection that affects the airways. Gemma was 13. The daughter of Pearl and Stumpy, she left us the precious gift of her daughter Lind, who was fathered by Horton and born in 2019. Gemma is a sad loss, but also a reminder of the difficulties these birds face. The official population now drops to 200, and we are given a stark reminder of what happened in the 2019 breeding season when 9 birds died from aspergillosis, including well-known birds like Hockey, the first hand-reared kakapo. Unfortunately, it's very hard to tell when these birds are infected. They mask their illness very well, unlike those with man flu. You may only know a bird is sick once it's too late, so rangers will now be on high alert for any signs which might require immediate action. And we've just heard Boomer is off to the doctors too. It's far from doom and gloom, however. The final chicks have hatched, and there are currently 57 alive and well across the three islands. For a breeding season affected by COVID and requiring a more hands-off approach, this is an exceptional number to be starting with. I say starting because attrition is now the name of the game, and keeping birds alive is as difficult as any other part of the process. While rangers are working their butts off, so are kakapo mums, young and old. The oldest mums are Alice, Margaret Marie, Ruth, Solstice and Zephyr, all known as founders, part of the original 51 birds kakapo recovery started with in 1995, many of whom were captured in the early 1980s. The youngest mums are Dusky, Gertrude, Makurea, Nanihi and Tatapu, who were all born in 2016. However, only Tatapu on Whenuaho and Gertrude on Pukenui are raising their own chicks. Dusky, Makurea and Nanihi are all young foster mums, so let's call this a trial run. Tatapu's mother is Hini Taumai, and she was fathered by Takitimu, while Gertrude was fathered by Blake, but oh so importantly, carries the Fiordland genes of Kuya. That means, of all the Year 16 chicks, Gertrude is an F16. And I can promise you this, it's the first time any kakapo has been likened to an F16. These birds don't quite break the record for the fastest breeder, however. They were pipped by Huhana, who bred when she was just 5 years old, producing a son, Moorhouse, with blades. And while she was another unfortunate victim of aspergillosis in 2019, before she passed, she also produced a daughter, Huhu, with Guapo. Now, I have a real brain teaser for you. As you know, all Fiordland kakapo are descended from a single bird, Richard Henry, who mated with Flossie, and they had 3 offspring, Gulliver, Sinbad, and Kuia. But can you tell us which island they were born on? Send your answer via voice message on our Anchor podcast page, and the first correct answer wins a little something from us. Just remember to include your name. Now let's join Dr. Andrew Digby out on a beautiful moonlit night on Pukenui.
It's the 16th of March and I am back on anchor, and I'm back at Atueta's Nest on a very, very different night from when I was here last 3 weeks ago. That night there was a pretty amazing storm with very, very strong winds, at least storm force, and tonight it's dead calm. It's clear. There's a beautiful sunset. The sun has just set. The moon is rising above Resolution Island. Yeah, and it's an absolute stunner. And I'm about to open the hatch on Atueta's Nest and see the difference that 3 weeks can make in the growth of two kakapo chicks. And there's Atoeta 2A and Atoeta 3A in this nest. So the answer is that they've changed quite a lot, these chicks. So I last saw them about 3 weeks ago. They were 26 and 43 grams respectively then. And now they're weighing in at 701.015 kilograms. So, yeah, a big change, and they look really different too. They really look like they're going through this real sort of mini dinosaur stage that they go through. The largest one has got some olive feathers, some pin feathers starting to come through, really beginning to look like a kakapo, not really look like that much of a bird at the moment. But yeah, they're at a pretty cool age, just sitting there grunting together in the nest. And it's really starting to get a job for the mothers at the moment to feed these chicks. She'll be out most of the night trying to find enough rimu fruit for them. And when she does come back to the nest, she'll spend only just normally about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes or so on the nest feeding them before going out again. So she's constantly on the move at night. And that does take a toll on the mothers. They lose a lot of weight. Several of these mothers will be down to around about a kilogram in weight at the moment. And they'll end up feeding chicks, which are bigger than they are. But both of these chicks are looking really, really good. Their growth is better than expected at the moment. And so, yep, looking great. So it's on to the next nest, which is Waikawa's tonight. It's now a couple of hours later on the same night, and I'm walking back across the top of Anchor Island on a beautiful moonlit night. In fact, it's so bright, I don't actually need my torch for some of it. It's stunning up here. And I've just been to Waikawa's nest and checked her chick, Toita Iti A1. That chick is also doing really well, weighed in at 945 grams. It's a little bit lighter than the chicks, than the chicks at Atoeta's nest. And it's a little bit below the mean, and that's probably partly a result of it being hand-reared for a part of its life, which they always don't put on as much weight as they do in the nests. But it's doing well, it's tracking well, and so, yep, I'm happy with that. That chick was in an A-frame because the nest was very small. Sometimes we do that if the nest is not really large enough or not weatherproof enough. We're worried about flooding, for example, then we'll move the chicks into a small A-frame so they're a bit more safe from any weather events. So far tonight, it seems that all the chicks, including the other chicks that are being done, are looking good. We are a bit nervous, of course. We've had Gemma die late last week from aspergillosis. The chicks in the nests are now in hand rearing on the mainland. They seem to be doing well, but because of what happened in 2019 and the aspergillosis outbreak, we're pretty nervous, and we know that the birds can mask their symptoms very, very well. They can actually be looking fine and then die just a few days later. So, yeah, we're being pretty vigilant. We've increased the checks that we're doing on Anchor Island, and we're looking at other surveillance measures as well to make sure that there's not aspergillosis in any other birds. But yeah, we're keeping a close eye and crossing our fingers pretty tightly at the moment.
Crossing them as tight as we can cross them, Andrew. Both fingers and kakapo toes. Thankfully, kakapo chicks grow fast. The mums embiggen them all. Some already weigh a full kilo. They don't grow up quite so fast, however. The plodding, playful, tipsy toddlers may start to explore the outside world from the age of 55 to 60 days, and even leave the nest entirely by 70 days of age, but they have a lot to learn about the outside world, like rain, for one, that it exists, and two, what to do about it. Or cliff edges, and not to hop over them. While a kakapo might have wings, they are wings in name only, and you'd probably get better lift with a pair of Nana's mittens. The wings, and I use the term loosely, are more like the big sweatshirt you steal off your boyfriend for slow days on the couch watching reruns of the Gilmore Girls. I'm sure Gemma would approve of that behaviour, and while she didn't have any fertile eggs of her own this year, she was doing a great job of raising Avohi A1 and Aparima A1, who are still alive and now being hand-reared. That's why Gemma is our kakapo of the week. I'm sure your wings work where you've gone to now. While many New Zealand species are endangered, the kakapo still needs your help too. Go to doc.gov.nz, yes, there's a T in there, and search kakapo recovery. You can help by making a donation, volunteering, or buying merchandise. Or go the whole hog and adopt a kakapo for the season. You get a soft toy, certificate, stickers, bookmarks, and that smug satisfaction of wandering around the office, showing everyone pictures, and talking at length about how you're saving the species and they couldn't do it without you. Because it's true. So whether you're Phil from accounts, Wendy from marketing, or Ted from the Queenstown Ice Arena, you too can sponsor a kakapo and call it your very own. We'd like to thank Dr. Andrew Digby and the entire kakapo recovery team for their support and submissions to the show. Please do follow them across social media and get one of their spanking new t-shirts. This episode was written and recorded by Jez Brown and edited by Kate Harrison. Our music comes courtesy of Cricket Farm. This track's called Bending Spoons. The version with words is even better. And of course, keep supporting New Zealand's conservation efforts where you can. See you again, bird lovers. Mate wā.